Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to John and Lance in the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Oh, you think they can talk Texans football? Well, they obviously need the assistance of ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bieniemy. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
Two of my favorites, Houston Powder Coaters and the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. And they're bringing you DJ Bieniemy every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, actually throughout the station. He is going to be giving us Texans information. DJ, welcome to our show. We appreciate you being here. Looking forward to a nice season this year.
Absolutely. This is probably the best, walking song I've gotten on any show ever.
It's not even close.
Those tools are jamming. Not even close.
It's not even close to get Zap. That was Zap, wasn't it? Yep.
Featuring Roger. No, that was special.
Featuring Roger, the old 80s bounce and funk. So, speaking of the funk, it was a little funky yesterday with the first start on the offensive line. You know, people are going to focus on C.J. Stroud. I'm going to focus, DJ, on the offensive line not being where it needs to be, which everyone already knew that. I wonder, did the Texans talk at all about, was this the game plan for him to get, for C.J. to get two series, or did they change anything based on issues with protection?
Nah, I think he was always scheduled to get a couple of series. I mean, the broadcast even said initially he was only going to get one, but they ended up switching it to two to do a pick on that first one. But I think it was always to make it quick. You just kind of wanted to see a clean operation. But you know, even through CJ's struggles, I wrote about it yesterday, that one of the reasons for the struggles was the fact that he was pressured on 60% of his dropbacks. Now, granted, some of the pressure was self-induced. Like, even on the first throw to Nico, you know, where he kind of held the ball a little bit longer than he would like. But even, you know, outside of, even on the sack, right, before he even left the top of his drop, he had somebody in his face on route two sacking him. So, yeah, offensive line was bad, and I think that was a indicator that why the Texans spent the money that they spent to secure the offensive line in Larry Tunsil, in Titus Howard, in Shaq, and trading building Drew Scruggs and hoping that Kenyon Green can take the next step in year two, because, you know, we all know, you know, CJ isn't necessarily the most athletic guy in the pocket. So you're going to need to give him a clean offensive line, especially in that first year as he's transitioning from what he had at Ohio State, from the protection to the skill players to the NFL, where he's just not going to have that same level of comfort that he had in college. So I think you're right. The biggest takeaway wasn't necessarily the TV shot interception, was the fact that the offensive line was getting beat like a drum.
Yeah. Well, it is the Patriots, and it is that makeshift offensive line. Obviously, guys not playing, guys hurt, all of that stuff going on. ESPN all morning, right now, as a matter of fact, what did we learn from C.J. Stroud's first preseason game? And they've got his stats up there, and they continue to show the interception. We didn't learn anything, okay? What did D'Amico had say? It's no big deal, right? Can we stop on this stuff? Let's talk about the defense. Did we learn anything about the defense last night, DJ?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We learned that the defense is already starting to show some of the signs that you want to see from a D'Amico Ryan-led defense. Now, granted, it's preseason. I remember last year, Lovie Smith's defense looked pretty good. It was starting to look like in the season. But I think the number one thing that stood out to me is, and what transfers no matter what, is the fact that they were able to stop the run with consistency all last night. It had 7 tackles for loss. Obviously, only allowed 9 first downs. But anytime the Patriots tried to run the ball, it was tough sledding. And I think that was probably the most encouraging sign. Because, again, remember last year, the Texans, you know, anybody could run for over 100 yards against them. And they allowed the 6th most rushing yards ever in NFL history for a single season. And you kind of saw that ferocity that control of the line of scrimmage that you just didn't see much last year, even in preseason, even and obviously during the regular season. So I think that's probably the most positive sign, because we know their back end is going to be just fine, right? You got Derek Stevens, you got James, because you got Jimmy Ward, you got Steven Nelson, you got Dickon King, correct, Tyler Thomas, and it's nickel. We know the back end is going to be fine. They had more interceptions than a lot of touchdowns through the air last year, but we know the biggest concern is always going to be that run defense. And the fact that they were able to control the line of scrimmage consistently, get some CFLs, and not allow many big games, that's probably the most encouraging sign to come out of preseason from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah, this is, for me, how that front seven plays is I'm really curious to see how the front seven ends up playing, how they get after the quarterback, because, man, if your front seven's good, it's going to have a big impact on how bad the running game was. If you can stop the running game, I mean, how bad, you know, the run defense was. If you can stop the running games of other teams, it gives you a chance to, you know, not allow them to control tempo of games. You can rush the passer. It helps on the back end. I think this front seven, you know, for all the things that we're going to focus on, Stingley and all that, and rightfully so, but having a front seven that is not only functional, but maybe improved beyond our expectations against the run and as a rush unit, man, that can have such a big impact on how quickly a team can build into a competitive team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think based on last night with the pass rush that was popping up from time to time, even, you know, when he threw that pick, the Patriots, I don't even think they got a first down after that. They, you know, it was that third down and Desmond Perriman got that sack. And you had Will Anderson screaming off the edge. And one thing I noticed was, like, there was still coverage on the back end. And if that pass rush can continue to follow up on your point, he can sit on a lot of routes, right? Because it's like, all right, I know my pass rush can get there. I know the ball has to come out fast. So when I'm on a hit receiver's pocket, I don't necessarily have, I can just sit on what, if he's going to break inside, he's going to break outside. I can sit a little bit. I know if they try to go deep, one, they're all pretty good athletes, but if they try to go deep, it's going to be a rough throw. So I can kind of almost undercut it and set that they go toeing the beat. But since it's coming out, if it's coming out hot on an out-breaking route or in-breaking route, I can sit and then, you know, turn my eyes to the ball and be able to make plays that way too. So I think, to follow up on your point, the pass rush could be a lot better than we expected. Again, with Anderson, we know what he brings. Sheldon Rankin, he's obviously a pretty good defensive tackle pass rusher. And then, you know, what's it called? You got Jonathan Gennard, who is really good, right? You know, he had 8 sacks in 2021 in 12 games. Last year, he dealt with some injuries. Obviously, he never looked the same out there. He hurt his calf. And then you got Jerry Hughes, who had 9.5 sacks. And he's using a rotational piece at the age 34, 35. You can keep him fresh. You can keep him fresh down the stretch of the season and in games where you really need to get at the pass. And you can get a little, you know, you can get a little creative, right? You can have Hughes coming off the edge with Will Anderson. And then you can take Malik Collins off the field, put Gennard in the 3-tech or the nose. And now you have, you know, Sheldon, obviously, in the interior. Now you have 4 legitimate, like, pass rushers that can get after the quarterback, that can win one-on-one. I think pass rush is going to be a lot better than people realize. So I think the baseline for this defense in 2023 is a top 16 unit from a yard standpoint, from a DVOA standpoint, from a points per game standpoint. I think the baseline is top 16.
Interesting. DJ Bienname with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and by the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Henry Totoa had a nice game. He's all over the field. He had 5 tackles last night. Where is he? Are we going to see him in regular season games this year?
I believe so. I think, you know, he's been rotating with the ones at practice. Some days he goes with the ones. Sometimes he goes with the twos. Sometimes he goes with the ones in between team periods. So let's say team period one, you might not see Henry, but then team period two, you might see Henry with the ones. So I absolutely think we'll see a decent amount of Henry Totoa this year. Because, again, I think the main 5 is obviously Christian Harris, Mitchell Perriman, Blake Cashman, Henry Totoa, and Christian Kirksey. So I think those will be the main 5 this year. And I fully expect Henry Totoa to play. Because, again, like, If it's even with the, you know, with Henry and let's say Blake Cashman or Christian Kirksey, it makes more sense to go with the younger guy, more cost effective, he's cheaper, and you have him under control for the next 3 years after this season. So it just makes total sense to, if it's even, which there's been times when you see the talent flash, you just roll with the younger guy, you know? So I think we're going to see a decent amount of Henry Toto. Now, I might think, you know, he's going to be like the starting linebacker majority of the year if you want to tell him. Nah, but you don't necessarily need that. You just need him to be given a role, execute that role, and then as he continues to master that role, you put more on his plate for his rookie season.
DJ, do you get a sense of who the leaders may be, not from a coaching standpoint, but in the locker room, on the field, for the offensive and defensive sides of the ball?
Man, on the offensive side, I truly think, like, I know he's young, but I really think CJ is truly a leader of this team. You can just tell by the way he talks in the press conferences. Obviously, he takes blame for everything. Like, I know that's little things, but people don't realize, like, fans don't realize how much that really matters, because players listen to the pressers. Like, I've had players DM me before about what was said at a presser. And I remember the fiasco with Zach Wilson after the New England Patriots game, where he didn't take any blame for the offense only having, scoring 3 points and having 2 yards of total offense in the second half. So CJ has a lot of self-awareness, loves to take accountability. Because he kept saying, you know, it was my fault, and that interception, I should have did this. Obviously, I wish I could take it back. I can't put my offense and my defense in that position. Those are little things that truly matter. And I've had players really speak about the fact that he's a natural-born leader. Obviously, Larry Tunsil is not a leader on that team. That's something he takes true pride in offensively, being an offensive leader. Like, he took massive pride in the fact that he was a captain last year. And on the defensive side, I put Bernard up there. Obviously, Jalen Petrie, big-time leader, Jimmy Ward.
Right.
So those are, like, the main five that I'll put in that leadership role. So,
yeah.
DJ Bieniemy.
Petrie, I was going to say, John, Petrie is the guy. I noticed ESPN even had a list of players to go from, you know, great to star and from average to starter and things like that. And they had Jalen Petrie on the list to go from kind of an unheralded, very good player. I anyone who's around the Texans for any amount of time, anyone who's watched the Texans can see that Jalen Petrie is built way different. And I think it will really unlock here with D'Amico Ryan's defense. I think he's got a chance to kind of become, I don't want to say a star, but he's going to become well-known around the league. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I completely agree there. I think I can take it a little step further. I think if the pass rush lives up to the talent that has been brought in and overall talent that they have, I think he could have a potential all-pro type season. I think he could be like the safety in San Francisco. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I know you guys know what I'm talking about. But I think he could have this type of all-pro type season, right? Because he didn't have the nose to the football, you know, whether the ball carry, whether it's through the pass game or a run game. Again, he had over 140 tackles, and he had 5 interceptions, one of 8 players in NFL history to ever do that. But I truly believe that all-pro is on the table. I think Pro Bowl is like the baseline for him, because you kind of saw flashes of the range. Obviously, there were times where it wasn't perfect as a rookie, but that happens. But we all remember that Dallas Cowboys game where he basically kept the Cowboys out of the end zone on one specific drive when he had a plethora of pass breakups. So, and then, you know, he could have had 6 minutes. He could have had more interceptions because he dropped a couple. I remember one against Miami, got called back for, pass interference on Steven Nelson while guarding Tyreek Hill. Like, and then I know earlier in that game, Tua threw the ball over the middle to Tyreek Hill, and Jalen came in, dislodged the ball from that. So, again, and there's been times where we've seen him down on the line of scrimmage in practice, where they've been using him in safety blitz situations. So, his stat line is going to look kind of crazy. I don't want to go as far as he's going to look during James-ish, but, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, you see, like, 10 PBUs, 4 interceptions, 3 sacks, 8 TFLs. So, I think he can have a real deal breakout season.
That's DJ Bieniemy right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He'll join us Friday mornings at 9 o'clock right here.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.